Hi, what's up, everybody? Thank you for tuning in to yet another episode of Ant and Big Red vs. the World. As always, I'm Big Red.
And as always, I am still Average Ant.
And we got a pretty awesome episode for you today. We're going to dive into some very interesting topics, and we got a full slate of Big Red's ballers and busts and honorable mentions. So, Ant, you can talk a little bit more about what we're going to get into, and then we'll dive right into it.
Yeah, so for those who have been living under a rock and don't know who Kyler Murray is, he is arguably one of the most athletic people to grace this generation. And he has recently came out. He's obviously been a little pre-type thing. He's been drafted by the A's, and he's wanting to play in the NFL. So that's something we'll get into. Antonio Brown and the whole Pittsburgh Steelers, nobody wants to play there thing is continuing. So we'll give our input on where we think Antonio Brown is going to end up, where we want him to end up, and all that. And of course, like Big Red said, we got a full slate of busts, ballers, and honorable mentions.
And it's going to be a very good show. And so without further ado, we will dive right into the heart of it. And Kyler Murray, the 5'11", 195-pound outfielder / quarterback for Oklahoma. And as Ant mentioned, unless you've been living under a rock, on the 14th, a couple days ago, Kyler Murray announced that he would be entering the NFL draft. And after a lot of weeks of going back and forth where people kind of weren't sure what he was going to do, Kyler finally declared. But he also didn't say that he was foregoing his contract with Oakland. So essentially right now all we know out of Kyler Murray is that he is going into the NFL draft, and he's going to go in as one of the most exciting prospects in the draft, especially for quarterback-needy teams after his Heisman season, where he threw for 4,300 yards, 42 touchdowns, only 7 picks, and he also ran for about 1,000 yards. So very, very, very exciting prospect, obviously in the MLB because it led to him getting drafted 9th overall by the A's, but also in the NFL. Is if you win the Heisman, you're a big deal. If you do it by running as well as Kyler did and throwing as well as he did, you're going to have NFL scouts drooling. So with that kind of little intro, Ant, you can kind of take it from here.
Yeah, so I guess before I get a little more deeper into it, like we were talking pre-show, I didn't really understand why he was able to play college football while under a contract. But I guess it turns out you could play one sport and get paid for it as long as you're playing a different sport in college. Which is interesting because you can't even make money on monetized YouTube videos. So that's a little silly. And then one other thing real quick. With his $4.6 million signing bonus, he's the second highest paid NCAA athlete of all time behind DeAndre Ayton last year at Arizona. Nah, I'm playing. But with that little thing out of the way, he was drafted by the A's and recently declared for the draft, like you said. And there's a lot of kind of tug of war of people saying what sport they kind of want him to play. And the most interesting thing I kind of thought of this is that he asked for something like $15 million from the A's to play baseball, which a lot of people like kind of didn't really like. But I mean, I support it. It's a power move for him. I mean, if you can demand $15 million, then why not go out and do it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so and it's with a like you're saying, it's a power play. It's a big time power play, and I mean, my opinion has kind of been set in stone. Is set even more so after a lot of the research that I did. But when you're that dynamic of an athlete, I mean, MLB scouts have pegged him as an extremely athletic center fielder with above average arm and impressive power. He hit .296 in his redshirt sophomore season with a .390 8 on base percentage, which means he was taking a lot of walks. He had a 556 slugging, so he was hitting for extra bases. So when you have an MLB season like that, obviously it led to something, got drafted 9th overall. He has an avenue in baseball, and he has a career in baseball. But on that same breath, he came out and put up a Heisman season, and obviously it led to a lot of speculation that he'd enter the draft, and of course, here we are. He has entered. So, I mean, I guess the big thing on everybody's mind is, should Kyler play football, or should he play in the NFL? Or, excuse me, or should he play in the MLB? and so, I think it's something that pretty much is decided now. It doesn't really matter where he's going to get drafted, in my opinion. He's going to get drafted in the first round in the NFL. It is kind of just a matter of where in the first round and to what team. So really the decision is for us to speculate. First of all, I guess, Ann, I'll kind of ask you, what do you think he's going to do? And then we'll get into a little bit of why we think that he should do it, or what we think he should do.
Yeah, so I guess keep it short and simple. I mean, I think he should play football. I feel like that's how anybody pretty much feels. I mean, doing some research, I was looking at a bunch of things said by people who have played both in the MLB and in the NFL, or even in the minor leagues and in the NFL, stuff like that. And all of them, well, almost all of them, were either trying to stay neutral and saying, oh, he should do what's in his heart and all that, or saying he should play baseball. So I thought that was really interesting, but it didn't really sway me from saying he should play football, because, I mean, he can secure the bag playing football. I mean, he's going to get paid a lot more up front. He's going to get instant gratification because he will be a first-round pick. I mean, I see draft boards having him top 5 to late first round, but he's going to be a first-round pick no matter what. And there's no money like first-round pick quarterback NFL money. So that's what he should do. That's what I'm thinking he should do. So before, I guess, getting a little more deeper into it, we'll get into what you think he should do.
Yeah, and so I think on both levels, I think he's going to play in the NFL. And I also agree with that. I think that he should. I think you mentioned the kind of comment that a lot of people are saying he should lean towards baseball or do what's in his heart, this and that. I think that comes from just a misconception of, A, the safety of both sports and the kind of money that's involved. So, yes, there are bigger contracts handed out in the MLB. They're massive contracts. 10 years, $240 million to Robinson Cano, for example. The big, massive contracts Bryce Harper and Manny Machado are about to sign. But those are players that are established superstars that have been in the league for a while. They broke onto the scene and they maintained it. That would be Kyler Murray's first big payday, where, as you said, the money in the first round for NFL quarterbacks compared to any kind of money, whatever position you are, and with all the bonus caps and limits in the MLB, the NFL's first round is going to pay him a lot more as a quarterback. And I think that safety misconception is Kyler Murray is playing quarterback in the NFL, one of the most lucrative and safest, longest career margins. But there's 7 quarterbacks that are over 35 years old in the NFL.
Yeah, two of the best quarterbacks are over 40.
Exactly. And you're telling me that his baseball career, he could take off, and I don't want to take anything away from him. He was drafted 9th overall. He's unbelievable athletically in both sports. But you can't tell me that 40-year-old Kyler Murray playing quarterback has 40-year-old Kyler Murray has a better chance of still being successful in the NFL over the MLB. You can't tell me that you think he's going to be more successful at 40 in the MLB. And so I have a few more things on the money end of it and why money is absolutely where he should go. But I'll kind of let you get a little more in depth and I'll wrap up.
Yeah, so I guess the biggest knock kind of on Kyler Murray is that he's small. He's 5'11", like you said in the intro, 190 and some change. And he does rely on his athleticism a lot. He runs the ball a lot, which athleticism and quarterback hasn't really had the best mix in the NFL. I mean, like, you look at guys like Michael Vick and RG3, who kind of had their career shortened a little bit because they weren't necessarily too reliant on their athleticism, but it definitely gives them more opportunity to get banged up. So, I mean, in terms of what sport I would think he would have a longer career in, if he would reach the MLB, it would be in baseball. But that's the whole thing, is getting to the MLB. Getting to the MLB it's just a huge hump.
It's the crux of the issue.
Yeah. So, to just think about him, if he did go with baseball, him just not even ever getting there would be super, it would make him regret this whole thing. And, if he did end up getting injured, I mean, because of his size and stuff, would you rather get injured as an NFL quarterback drafted in the first round, or a first round pick in the MLB that's in the minor league system? So, I mean, it's still like, even with the quote health issues, I mean, even though he is at quarterback, I would much rather get hurt as a quarterback in the NFL than an outfielder in the minor league system.
Absolutely. And yes, there is no minor league system for the NFL. But if you get hurt in the minors, look at what happened to Kyle Lewis, drafted 6th overall by the Mariners. Dude was having a phenomenal season when he walked on. I was super excited for him. He was tearing it up. All of a sudden, foot gets jammed in the mud at Everett Memorial and tears his ACL. Been dealing with horrid knee issues since. He's still the Mariners, I think, 3 or 4 rated prospect. But he struggled with his health and his knee injuries, and so he went from a top 30 MLB pipeline prospect to dropping down and being the very weak farm system Mariners top prospect, obviously before this season's fire sale where we got brought in a bunch of guys like Kalenic and Sheffield. But the point is, he got hurt and he's not necessarily an afterthought, but he's going that way. And if he can't shake the knee injury, his career's done. And it's where in the NFL, unless you're RG3, lots of QBs have torn ACLs, had knee injuries, had major injuries, and come back. And the thing is, when you're a franchise QB in the NFL, you're getting drafted into the most important position in the league. You get hurt for a season? Well, guess we're stopping up shop, tanking until you get back for the next year, so if we can find out if you're a franchise QB or not. In the MLB, you may not see the field for 2-3+ years. And so if you get hurt in the minor leagues, these big league clubs, yeah, they're disappointed. They're obviously, if you're a first round pick, they're going to invest in your rehab, but they're not going to cry and put everything on hold for you while you recover. It's at that point in the MLB, when you're in the minors, it's, well, get healthier, you don't, we're moving on, you know? Whereas in the NFL, it's waiting, and it's, if you're our franchise QB, we're going to believe in you for at least a few seasons.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of glad you mentioned that because, like, NFL teams and NBA teams too, they have a lot more reliance on the instant fix of a first-round pick. I mean, more so in the NBA than the NFL, but I mean, like, a quarterback drafted in the first round can definitely turn around the whole fortune of a team. I mean, obviously not overnight Super Bowl contenders, but, I mean, maybe a playoff team, and I mean, that just doesn't happen at all ever in baseball. Has there ever been a case where someone's drafted and instantly goes to MLB and helps a team?
I wouldn't be surprised if it's happened, but the way the minor league systems are set up now, it's almost impossible. Even when you get drafted out of college, you go to single A or maybe double A at the highest. So
I mean, there's that too. And I mean, like I said earlier a little bit, like RG3 and guys like that do tend to get hurt and stuff, but the difference is Kyler Murray is actually a really good passer, so he's not necessarily as like, his athleticism obviously is a huge gift, it's a huge weapon that he can use, but if that had been taken away from him, I'm not necessarily taking all my money off of him as a quarterback that can be serviceable in the league. I mean, he has the arm talent. He can throw far. He can throw accurate. He can do all that. So he's not just like the RG3 guy that is only really good when he can scramble and get out of the pocket and run. He's a lot more than that, at least as of now. I mean, watching him this year and stuff like that. So there's definitely way better avenue if he goes to the NFL as opposed to trying to pursue the MLB, which will take even a few years for him to just get to, if he gets there.
Yeah, 100%. And like you said, the avenue to fame and stardom is almost instantaneous when you go to the NFL, especially as a QB. This draft prospect, we haven't even seen the combine. Kyler Murray could go to the combine and tear it up, and Kyler Murray's going to be projected a top three pick. Now, it's weird. It's a weird, weird, weird year for quarterbacks in the top 10 and all that, and I'll get into it in a second. I guess kind of the last thing I want to say about why Kyler Murray would be an absolute moron, in my opinion, to play in the MLB over the NFL when he's going to get drafted in the first round. So two things. Baker Mayfield drafted number one overall, got a $23.1 million signing bonus and contract. Drafted number one overall. Lamar Jackson got a $5 million signing bonus and a $7 million more in guarantees for his contract. Drafted 32nd overall. That's a ton of money for Baker Mayfield. It's more money for Lamar Jackson than, or it's more money than Kyler Murray is getting in the MLB for Lamar Jackson. So even if somehow Kyler dropped all the way down to 32, he would still be immediately getting more money than he would be in the NFL, or than he would be in the MLB. And so on top of that, he can build, and whether or not he's successful or not, based on the things I've seen, it doesn't matter. Kyler Murray could go in, play 4 or 5 years with whatever team drafts him, and be mediocre, show signs of ability and be mediocre, and still make a ton of money. Whereas in the MLB, if he's not successful, he's done. And my biggest example of that, Mark Sanchez. Anthony, do you think that Mark Sanchez is a good quarterback?
No.
He maybe had one, maybe you could argue 2 good years with the Jets. Am I wrong?
Yeah. No, you're not wrong. You're not wrong.
Mark Sanchez has made $74 million in his career. Wow. Now, we'll move it over. You know, there's got to be some other good quarterback. Blake Bortles, 26 years old. I don't know. Blake Bortles was a Big Reds bust earlier. Blake Bortles is horrible. I thought the Jaguars were idiots for re-signing him. Blake Bortles has made about $40 million over the course of his career. 9-year backup Chase Daniels made about $28 million. Matt Cassel has been on every team in the league, started for about 4 total seasons in his 15-year career. He's made about $60 million. In comparison, Adam Eaton, pretty solid center fielder, plays a great defense, has had 3 seasons with a WAR, wins against replacement above 4, which is a measure of how valuable a guy is compared to your average MLB starter. He's played a long career. He's 32 years old. He's dealt with injuries. When his contract ends, when he's 32, he'll have earned a total of $43 million. That's a 10-plus MLB career. Compared to of an above-average outfielder that has contributed to national teams and things like that have made the playoffs. And you're telling me Mark Sanchez, Blake Bortles, Chase Daniels, these backup QBs are almost doubling the amount of money he's made. And it's unbelievable, yeah. Really. Basically, the moral of all this, if Kyler Murray becomes a quarterback in the NFL, one of the most long... the career with the most longevity in the NFL, and obviously the most guaranteed money, whether he's good or bad, it doesn't matter. Because Kyler Murray's athleticism is going to get a shot with at least one other team after his rookie contract is up. And that's if he plays bad. That's if he plays terribly. He still would be able to find a backup job. RG3 hasn't done anything good in the league in 6 years back in backup QB for the Ravens. I mean, it's QB is the best option for anybody. Now, if Kyler Murray played something else, we kind of talked about this. If Kyler Murray played wide receiver, he played running back, go to the MLB, dude. You're going to get beat up. You're not going to get rewarded all that much. Take your shot in the MLB. You got a chance. Your dad did. I mean, by all means. But no, dude, you're playing the most lucrative position in the National Football League. You're going to get drafted in the top 10. Go in the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, just real quick, too. Kyler Murray's definitely going to get $40 million in the bank within the first few years he's in the NFL, with his signing bonus, his contract, and endorsements and all that. I mean, that's even
too,
with even if he gets like play incentives and stuff like that, that'll just add to it. So I mean, he's definitely gonna get that $40 million within the first couple of years he's in the league.
And that's something he wouldn't be able to get in baseball. Mm-hmm. No one is jumping to endorse a minor league baseball player. Yes. Maybe if you're Bryce Harper and you're on the cover of Sports Illustrated at 16, that's probably getting you endorsements. Kyler Murray is a huge star. Absolute. Had one fantastic season that got him drafted 9th overall in baseball. Had a Heisman season in football. Is going to get him drafted there too. So obviously it's a fantastic and great story. He's going to get sponsorships no matter what. But the thing is, they're going to be bigger. He's going to have more exposure in the NFL.
Yeah, well, I guess with the money kind of thing, talked about, if you're an NFL team, do you feel comfortable kind of drafting him? I guess let me put this way. If you're a top 10, if you have a top 10 pick, are you taking Kyler Murray?
Yes, I absolutely think so. And I think that every NFL team that needs a quarterback should not hesitate. This is a quarterback class that's filled with the names of Dwayne Haskins. was probably going to be the first quarterback taken.
That's what I've seen on the draft boards. He's number one quarterback, pretty much.
Yeah, and I think that Kyler Murray could overtake him. We could see kind of like a Baker Mayfield thing where somebody takes Kyler ahead of where they're expecting Haskins. But Dwayne Haskins isn't all that great. I mean, he had a great showing against UW in their bowl game. But other than that, the quarterback class is like Drew Locke, guys that I'm not all that confident in. And so I love the excitement and energy level that Kyler Murray could bring to any NFL team. And I don't think they should be worried about him playing baseball at all, because I think that him declaring for the draft at all tells me that he's very aware of how much more money he can make as a quarterback in the NFL. And I think after a season like he had, he's confident that he can be successful in the NFL. So I quite frankly see him playing in the NFL, and I don't think any team should be worried about drafting.
Yeah, I mean, I completely agree with you. If I'm the Bills, Broncos, Redskins, Dolphins, Bengals, I'm drafting him. And obviously, I'm a Raiders fan. When you first kind of asked me if I'd draft Kyler Murray, I was a little hesitant, but I'm definitely drafting Kyler Murray if I'm the Raiders. Obviously, it's a fourth pick. It's a little riskier than it would be for a Bills, Broncos, Redskins, or Dolphins, but I mean, it would allow the Raiders to trade Derek Carr, get some pieces out of that, move on with the rebuild. It's always better to push the rebuild and fail a little bit than to, like, kind of just stay stagnant.
Tread water. Yeah. The Raiders have 3 first-round picks.
Yeah, but 2 are in the 20s, late 20s, because one's the Cowboys and one's the Bears.
Cowboys and Bears. Yeah, either way, though. That's still first-round talent. And I could see, so maybe this is like an off chance, but say the fourth pick comes around, the Giants are really into Dwayne Haskins, which I think I've seen some stuff on the Giants being linked to Haskins. Why not trade back? You could trade back with the Giants or another team that wants Haskins or somebody other than Murray. And if you're trading back just a little bit, maybe Murray's still there. You do both. I think that I really actually do like the Raiders as a dark horse. It's a weird draft. So that Arizona has their franchise QB in Josh Rosen. Whether or not he is a franchise QB is irrelevant.
Yeah, they still have another year or two with him. with the experiment.
Exactly. Exactly. And we just talked about that. So the number one overall pick doesn't need a QB. The number two overall pick, San Francisco, has Jimmy Garoppolo and Nick Mullins. They don't need a QB. New York Jets just drafted Sam Darnold. They don't need a QB. So it's a really unique NFL draft in which the top three picks and several teams in the top 10 actually don't really need a quarterback. And so you're left with what's probably just going to be a trade back fest for a few teams that want to get up into that top 10 and take a Kyler Murray or a Dwayne Haskins. So I think it's going to be really interesting. Obviously, those first three teams are going to avoid it, but I wouldn't be surprised if somebody... So the Raiders, I think, probably stay at number four if they're going to take Kyler Murray. I actually really kind of like that landing spot. I think it would be an awesome jumpstart to the rebuild for the Raiders. It would be a way for John Gruden to... I guess it would be... It would be a little weird because he's been saying Derek Carr is his QB, Derek Carr is his QB. Yeah. So in that regard, it would be weird.
Yeah, but the Raiders just hired a draft guru as their GM. So I mean, they kind of gave that signal that John Gruden is he ain't going to be in control of the drafting.
Yeah, and so I would love that pick. And like you said, you could trade Carr probably for third round pick, second round pick, whatever. You're still getting guys for him, still getting assets. And you've jump-started your rebuild with a franchise QB like Kyler Murray, and you still have two first-round picks. So I think if the Raiders are ready to move on from Carr, that's a great landing spot for him. Other teams I'm kind of interested to watch and see what they might do. Is Jacksonville going to trade into the top 10? I hope so. Yeah,
that'd be dope.
Are the Buccaneers ready to move on from the Jameis Winston experiment? They should be. And then do the Giants value Haskins or Murray more? And then you have teams like Denver, the Redskins, and the Bengals, also teams that would probably need to trade up in order to take a Murray. So I guess my big teams to watch really are the Raiders and then the Jaguars.
Yeah, I mean, something that would be really cool too, I thought, would be the Giants if they drafted him. I mean, an offense with Kyler Murray and Saquon Barkley on the ground. And Odell. On the ground and in the air, that'd just be... The greatest show.
It would,
greatest show
it would be a force.
Nah.
Yeah, and I like that. Like I said, I kind of heard stuff about the Giants and Haskins. So, I mean, obviously there's a lot of time leading up to the draft, but people will be calling Kyler Murray's number for
yeah.
sure.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm the Giants, I'm definitely kind of going with the little bit more proven Kyler Murray than the kind of wild card like DeAndre Haskins, whatever. But, I mean, I guess with all that being said, do you have anything else for that?
Nope, I think that does it. Kyler Murray, please don't play.
Yeah,
for the
please. Eggs. Well, I guess we'll get into a little bit of an Antonio Brown piece. For those that don't know, he took the Pittsburgh Steelers out of his Twitter bio and followed the 49ers on Instagram. So, so obviously, I mean, he sat out a week. Or the last week, which was a game that the Steelers really needed to win. And he's definitely on the trade block. I mean, there's even a question as if the Steelers should trade him. And if I'm the Steelers, the answer is obvious. Yes, you trade him. And something real quick, too, that's pretty funny is that Antonio Brown's, like, quotes... that you'd like to see him on, or teams that you think he would be traded to?
Yeah, okay. I mean, absolutely. The Pittsburgh Steelers are moving on from Josh Allen. It's about time. Or not from Josh
Antonio
Allen.
Brown.
From Antonio Brown. It's just another domino in their kind of chaos of their locker room. There's a lot of teams that would love to bring in Antonio Brown despite his $22 million cap hit, and there's a lot of wide receiver needy teams. But to me, there's several teams that obviously have a need for wide receivers. The Jets. You could argue the Lions traded away Golden Tate, the Cardinals, lots of QB or lots of wide receiver needy teams. Even you could even argue the Texans, but they're not going to have any cap space. But when I think about Antonio Brown, who's 31-ish, right around there, he's actually a lot older than I thought. He's still an elite receiver, but I think if you're going to bring on that much cap space and that veteran of a player, it's got to be a team that feels like they're one or two pieces away from really putting together a great offense. And so for me, while I would love to see Josh Allen get some help in Buffalo, I think that if the Bills did that, it would be a huge move in, like, at least seeing if Josh Allen can be a legit franchise QB. So despite them not actually being fitting that mold for me, I would like to see him in Buffalo. I think that would be cool. Josh Allen played really well over his last few games, including a 3-touchdown, 1-pick performance against the Dolphins in their last game of the season, where he had 115 QBR. He ran for over 100 yards in a bunch of games. Allen's a legit dual threat QB. He's got a big arm. Buffalo's got no receivers. I would love to see him get some help. And then I guess my other really hot landing spot, which I think above all he should go to, is Indianapolis. I think the Colts should do everything that they can to trade for Antonio Brown. They have a young defense with a lot of young guys that are on rookie contracts, and they played really well. Of course, they got stomped by the Chiefs, but the Colts defense didn't play terrible. They settled in after a rough start, but Andrew Luck looked bad. He found T.Y. Hilton a bit, but I mean, the rest of the Colts receivers are garbage. You've pretty much got T.Y. Hilton, a cast of guys that play with oven mitts on because they can't catch anything. And Eric Ebron is solid to elite at the tight end position when healthy. If you could pair T.Y. Hilton and Antonio Brown with Andrew Luck, I would love to see that.
Yeah, I mean, I'd love to see that too. Andrew Luck with Antonio Brown would be super dope. But Jerry Rice said he's coming to San Francisco, so whatever Jerry Rice says has to happen, I guess. I mean, that'd be really cool to see Antonio Brown in San Francisco with kind of the history of wide receivers that they've had. There's speculation. I mean, the Raiders, I believe, are they're the second favorites, or the third, because San Francisco's definitely is favored now. And I don't know if the Jets are in front of the Raiders, but I mean, either way, do I want him on the Raiders? I mean, it'd be cool, but we don't necessarily need him. It's not really going to help us. It's not going to help him at all to be in Oakland or whatever they're going to be playing next season.
Not in the rebuilding.
So X on that. I mean, other teams kind of in the hunt, the Cardinals, Dolphins, and Cowboys. Cowboys could use him, but the Colts obviously in the hunt too. Dolphins, they could use him, but is that really a place he wants to be? Doesn't really look like it. So my dark horse kind of for this whole thing is the Seahawks. I think the Seahawks would be a really cool place to see him. I mean, their receiving core is eh. Their number one receiver, Doug Baldwin, was really a number two behind Tyler Lockett, who was their number one, who still wasn't really like...
He was hurt. Dougie was hurt
still,
all year.
It still
okay.
Wasn't... The Tyler Lockett being your number one receiver really isn't kind of good, I guess. And Russell...
At least give him props for his season, bro. He went off.
He went off for Tyler Lockett standards, I'll say that. He's a really... I like Tyler Lockett a lot. But Russell Wilson is 30. Antonio Brown is 30. The Seahawks are kind of in this weirdest stage where they've been kind of counted out the last few seasons early in the season, but then end up coming back and making the playoffs. So I think kind of making this move would obviously improve their offense a lot, give Russell Wilson an elite, if not the best receiver in the game to throw to, which he hasn't really had. Like, don't get me wrong, Doug Baldwin's really, really good. I like him. But he's not Antonio Brown. And so I think seeing Russ with an elite receiver would be super cool. It would boost the Seahawks on offense, which they kind of get stagnant on sometimes. And it would boost them from being a team that's like, are we making the playoffs or are we not, to a team that's in win now mode, which is something that when you have a quarterback like Russell Wilson, who is a top three quarterback in the league, you need to be in win now mode. So that's where I kind of would like to see him. No bias. I'm not really a Seahawks fan. I support them because they're from Washington, but Not a Seahawks fan, no bias there. It'd just be a cool situation.
Yeah, and I, building off that, first and foremost, I want to say I don't want to see him on the Seahawks. While I would absolutely love to have Antonio Brown, we're a team that's about to have Frank Clark. We're gonna have to re-sign Frank Clark. Russell Wilson's gonna hit free agency next year. Bobby Wagner as well. There's a lot of guys we're gonna have to retain. And yes, bringing in Antonio Brown would absolutely make the Seahawks offense, on paper, elite as possible. A really fantastic running back in Chris Carson, a fantastic running back waiting in the wings in Rashad Penny, and then that receiving core would go from to this is actually one of the best receiving cores in the league because you have A, the most, arguably the best receiver in the NFL, B, Doug Baldwin, who is probably the most underrated
Yeah,
receiver
I would
in
say
the
if Doug
NFL,
Baldwin was
and then
labeled as a number two receiver, he'd probably be the best number two receiver in the game. Healthy.
I would 100% agree. And then on top of that, your three and your barn burner take the top off of the defense would be Tyler Lockett, who didn't drop a pass all season, and Russell Wilson had a perfect passer rating throwing to him. And so then you have two elite guys in space, in Doug Baldwin and Antonio Brown, two of the best receivers in the game at getting open when the plays break down, which I don't know. I think Russell would like that. So with all those fantastic, amazing, good things I've said, he is still old. The Seahawks want to go young. They like the fact that they have one of the youngest teams in the NFL. I think they should just keep with that mold. If they want to bring in receiver talent, do it through the draft, or bring in depth. I don't think adding an elite receiver is gonna. I guess I don't know, but I don't necessarily think it'll take the game to the next level. But where I do 100% believe in that dark horse aspect is John Schneider's done it before. They've traded for Jimmy Graham to be that next level to push you over the top. They've traded for Percy Harvin to be that next level, push the offense over the top. Probably the reason I'm so hesitant on Antonio Brown is because neither of those worked.
Yeah.
but John Schneider and Pete Carroll have been known to do it, so, and they've been linked and said the Seahawks are pursuing him, so I could see it happening. I just, as a Hawks fan, I kind of hope it
Yeah.
doesn't.
Well, I mean, kind of as an outsider to it, I think it'd be really cool. So.
It would definitely be. I think Antonio would fit in. Other than his later season locker room issues, I don't think he would have much of a problem fitting in with the kind of. He's a guy that has a chip on his
Yeah.
shoulder, and that's kind of what Pete Carroll wants everybody in that locker room to play like. So I mean, I think he'd fit in. My locker room chemistry concerns aren't necessarily all
Yeah,
that
well,
high.
something tells me it isn't Antonio Brown or Le'Veon Bell in that locker room. Something tells me it's something else.
I mean, for me, I mean, I guess if we dive into that a little bit, my whole thing on that is when your offense on paper in for like 4 straight years
Yeah,
is
the
supposed to
best.
be the best in the NFL and take you to the Super Bowl every year, it's, oh, this is the Steelers' year, you know. This is it, you know. They got Big Ben and the three Bs, you know, the killer bees. And it just flops year after year, whether it's health for Big Ben or health for AB or health for Le'Veon Bell, it hasn't really worked out. And obviously, when Le'Veon doesn't get paid, Antonio doesn't feel great about that. He doesn't like the way that went, probably. So, I think to an extent, it probably is a little bit Antonio and a little bit Le'Veon with some kind of some on some level like a little bit of diva-ness, but. At the same time, when it happens with multiple players in the same locker room and there seems to be a clear miscommunication, I wouldn't put it all on either one of them.
Yeah, well, Steelers is toxic. I'm not trying to be in that locker room. So, I guess we've gone a little bit long, so I'll get my honorable mentions out of the way. James Harden, 58 points. That's all you really need to know. He needed 34 to keep his 40 points per game average going, and he got that in three quarters. So, shout out to James Harden. He gets buckets. And I guess yours is kind of related to this, so I'll let you get your baller in.
Yeah, dude, I will. dive right into the dagger into my heart and talk about Spencer Dinwiddie hitting a couple daggers of his own in that 58-point game for James Harden. Hit a deep game-tying three over Gerald Green with about 20-something seconds left-ish to send it to overtime. The Rockets blew a lead in this one as well, which irritates me. But then he also hit a game-tying and one bucket in overtime that with the and one put him up 143 to 142, which is a lead the Nets would hold. And Spencer Dinwiddie finished with 33 points, 10 assists, and 4 turnovers, and 58 points or not, it was enough to beat the Rockets, and my big red bust is the Rockets' supporting cast. When James Harden drops 58, 10 boards, and 6 assists...
Yeah. You expect a W.
And you give up a... that should be a W every time. And to give up 145 points... I know the Rockets are playing with street bums with all the injuries, but... Come on, man. You got this dude playing next level. 58 points. All 58 were unassisted, dude.
Jeez.
Unreal. It's a big time bust on the Rockets supporting cast, and I really hope they don't screw up this monstrous run for James Harden.
So shout out to James Harden. Shout out to Spencer Dinwiddie. Not giving a shout out to the Rockets supporting cast, but my last honorable mention real fast. It was really funny. Trump. So for those that don't know, Clemson won the national championship. When you win the national championship, you get invited to the White House, and usually you get like this really nice meal. I mean, we saw it on Forrest Gump when he went to the White House. But so President Trump had McDonald's, he had Wendy's, he had some Burger King, he had some pizza there. So I thought that was really funny. I mean, if I'm a Clemson player and I went out and won a national championship and came to the White House, I'm expecting some lobster, some crab or something. I'd be a little mad if I pulled up and there was some McDonald's right there. But I just thought that was really funny. So I had to mention
that. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, I'm glad you did. I mean, it kind of epitomizes like why so many teams have declined to go visit. Like, he's up in arms about teams turning it down. He finally gets a national championship team to come. Yeah, and he's like,
you get some
all right, boys,
force.
I know you're elite athletes, but Wendy's had a great deal. So we're hooking it up. And it's, dude. Except for maybe the linemen. Like, nobody's happy to see that.
Yeah,
dude.
It all goes back to that Trump book, The Art of the Deal. I mean, I guess to be fair, he did pay for it all himself. So I guess shout out to him for that, I guess.
Yeah, that $100 must have been well spent.
Yep, so I guess that kind of wraps things up. Thank you for listening. We've been uploading a little bit more frequently, obviously. And we just like to give a shout out to everybody listening. And we appreciate the support. So this is Average Ant signing off.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, you guys, for listening. We'd love to get some feedback, probably put some stuff out on social media and see if there's anything you guys want to hear us talk about, since we kind of talk about everything we want to, and that's fun, but we want to hear what you got to say. So thanks for tuning in every week, every couple times a week now. Big Red signing off.